Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Chapter 2 says you're seeing fulfillment of that now. They were. Verse 29 doesn't say in that day. It says in those days, which means it must precede the time of the day of the Lord. It started with Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection and goes forward from there. Verse 30 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Pillars of smoke. What happens when a nuke goes off? There's a huge pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. The great and awesome day of the Lord is referring to the Great Tribulation. So this that we're reading about in Revelation 6 under the sixth seal is in the first half of the tribulation period. And shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls, these are the saints that are being described, that the false Messiah wants to eliminate more than anything in the world. He wants to eliminate those believing Jewish remnants. Why? What did Messiah say in Matthew 23:39? To you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So notice the emphasis is on in Jerusalem, there's going to be salvation. Back to Revelation 6. Verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So that foreshadows what happens at the midpoint of the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 12. So we will defer that until we get to Revelation chapter 12. But the stars of heaven falling to the earth represent the fallen angels who get cast out with Satan at the midpoint. There's going to be a lot of them. Verse 14, then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up. Again, that's the result of a nuclear blast. That may not be how God accomplishes this, but that's one way it can happen. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. How many nuclear weapons do we have in the world today that we know of standing ready to fire at any moment? 10,000. I think it's 17,000. Many with up to 10 or more nuclear warheads per missile. Enough, I think they said, to destroy the entire planet dozens of times over, maybe hundreds of times over. Does anybody really think they want to be here during the tribulation period? Matthew does. I see his hand up. No, he's got a question. What's that, Matthew?
When I worked at Savannah River site.
When you worked at the Savannah River site?
They process weapons-grade plutonium.
They process weapons-grade plutonium.
I was told there's 35 metric tons of surplus weapons-grade plutonium.
You were told there's 35 metric tons of surplus weapons-grade plutonium that have not been put into weapons yet.
You can't do nothing with it.
Can't do nothing with it unless, of course, you're terrorists who manage to get a hold of it. In which case, you watch the movie Sum of All Fears. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll as it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Go to Isaiah chapter 34. This was also prophesied long ago. The book of Revelation rarely says, go back and read Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, etc., but they refer to these books all the time. Isaiah 34, verses 1 to 4, even uses some of the very same language. Verse 1 says, come near, you nations, to hear. So who's this called to? The Gentiles. And heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it. The world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation, what's that? The Za'an, the tribulation period. The indignation of the Lord is against whom? All nations. Oh, aren't there a lot of theologians that say the tribulation period is so God can punish the bad old Jews? That's not what the scripture says. And his fury against all their armies. Where do the armies of all nations come? Against Jerusalem. He has utterly destroyed them. What does utterly mean?
Smithereens,
completely and totally. He has given them over to the slaughter, and their slain shall be thrown out, meaning not buried. There's too many to bury. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as the fruit falling from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom. Edom is Esau, father of the Palestinian peoples. Back to scripture in Revelation chapter 6. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man. Does that kind of sound like everybody from the highest to the lowest? Hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Why? They're terrified of the judgments. They're terrified of what's falling. That's why it says in Jeremiah, do you see every man's hands on their bellies like they're in labor? Why are their faces all flushed? They're terrified. Verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. All the way back to Isaiah 2. Is Isaiah 2 about the coming of the Messianic kingdom? Yes, it is. But it also tells us what precedes the coming of the Messianic kingdom. Isaiah 2, verse 12. Actually, we can actually back up and start verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. That's people in the tribulation period who refuse to serve the true and living God. The lofty looks of man, that is the pride and arrogance, shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall bow down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. What day? The Lord. For the day of the Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaot. What is that an indication of? It's a last day's prophecy, an end day's prophecy. Shall come upon everything proud and lofty. Doesn't God pour his wrath out upon his children? No.
upon everything proud and lofty, and everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, those represent kingdoms of pride and arrogance. God bless you who come against the Lord. Upon all the high mountains and upon all the hills that are lifted up, again, representation of kingdoms. Upon every high tower, a Migdal is a military fortress-type tower. And upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, that's commerce. And upon the beautiful sloops, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish, which means after the tribulation period, there will never again be pagan idolatry on this earth. Verse 19 says, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. That's what Revelation 6 said they would do. From the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Is that just some isolated little shaking over in Israel? No, that's shaking the entire world. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Sever yourselves from such a man. That man they're talking about is the false Messiah, who has said, I am God, worship me. Whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? He's going to come against the saints. He's going to try and change the Torah. He's going to try and change the feasts and festivals of the Lord. And the Lord says, don't pay him any mind. He is nobody. Back to chapter 6 of Revelation. Verse 17. For the great day of his wrath has come. So these take us to the midpoint of the tribulation period, when we go from the tribulation period to the great tribulation period. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let's take a few references to help us understand how bad it's going to get. Let's start in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, which you guys could probably all quote to me. Jeremiah 30. Let's start in verse 1 for context. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. So did Jeremiah make this up one night? Or did these words come straight from the lips of the Lord? They are quoted. Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Notice days are plural. That I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. That means the return must start before the day of the Lord. Has the return of Israel begun? Yes. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. What did England offer the Jews? Land in Africa. Was that the land of their fathers? No. And they shall possess it. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. And now, ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. The answer to that is no. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? Alas. Alas doesn't mean a little girl from Scotland. Alas means bad things are coming. For that day is great. What day is great? The day of the Lord. So that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Who's going to trouble Jacob? The false Messiah in the nations of the world. But he, that is the Jewish people, Jewish remnant, shall be saved out of it. What does Romans 11:26 promise? And all Israel shall be saved. This is where it happens. Does that mean Jews have never been saved before the tribulation period? Doesn't mean that at all. What did the Apostle Paul say? I'm the Hebrew of the Hebrews. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts. Both in that day and the Lord of hosts tells us, this is end times prophecy, that I will break his yoke from your neck. It doesn't say who his is, but his refers to the false Messiah. And will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. Think of the idolatrous image in Daniel chapter 2. The head of gold was Babylon. Chest and arms of silver, Medo-Persia. Belly and thighs of brass, Greece. Two legs of Rome, iron. Two legs of iron were Rome. And then the 10 toes, the revived Roman Empire. And the entire image is crushed by a little stone that returns. That's Messiah breaking the bonds here. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. Means never, never, not ever. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. That's a term for Messiah. Why would they refer to Messiah as David their king? Who does Messiah descend from? David. So why is Israel called Israel? Because they descend from Israel. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. When is verse 10 fulfilled? In the kingdom, after Messiah returns. So verse 9 is Messiah's return. And verse 10 is the establishment of the kingdom on earth. Back to the scriptures in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let's go back to Hosea. Hosea means salvation. Are we going to bounce around for a while? Yeah, for a little while. Hosea chapter 1. I've got 5 more references I want to look at, including Hosea 1:11. Where are the children of Israel now? Not the children of Judah, but the descendants of the 12 tribes of the northern kingdom. They're dispersed throughout the nations. We don't know where they are. Will they be returned to the land of Israel? Yes. Verse 11 of Hosea 1 says, then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. That's the nation being reunited. Hosea 11:1. I'm sorry, 1:11. 1:11. Just give me 2 or 3 more days of sleep and I'll be okay. Hosea 1, verse 11. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. That happens when Messiah returns. And appoint for themselves one head. That's Messiah. He's going to be king over all the people. And they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. What's another term for the day of Jezreel? That's the tribulation period. So it's as a result of the tribulation period that Messiah will return, establish his kingdom on earth, and restore the two houses of Israel back together. So that's the answer to the question in Revelation 6:17. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The answer is those who put their faith in God through Messiah. They will be able to stand. Joel chapter 2. At least once you're in Hosea, Joel's easy to find. Joel 2, the verse is 11, but let's set up some context. In verse 1 of Joel 2, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Which trumpet is that? That's the last trump. That's the trump of the rapture and the resurrection. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. That means war is coming. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong. That's the enemy nations, the Gentiles, coming against Israel. The like of whom has never been. Nor there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before, and behind them a desolate wilderness. What causes such complete destruction of everything? Nuclear weapons do. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like swift steeds, so they run. With the noise like chariots over mountaintops they leap. Like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble. Let the strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces drained of color. That was Jeremiah chapter 30. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. And it goes on to talk about them. Verse 10, the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. Verse 11, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? The answer is in verse 12. So verse 11 was the same question as in Revelation 6. Here's the answer. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. This is who can endure it. Those who will repent and turn back to the Lord.
Can we break this down a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I'm still in Joel 2.
So am I.
Okay. So it says Rosh Hashanah, and the tribulation starts when they blow the shofar in Zion.
Right, so verse 1 is the beginning of the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. The trumpet blows, there's a rapture and a resurrection. A few days later, the first seal is open, war comes.
So that's Psalm 83, right? It's a Psalm 83 war.
Psalm 83, then the battle of Gog and Magog, and then Armageddon. It's a series of battles and wars.
So this is probably Gog and Magog when the tribulation starts.
I think when the tribulation starts is Psalm 83, followed 3 years later by the Battle of Gog and Magog, followed 4 years later by Armageddon.
Okay. That's where I was at.
The Lord is just putting it all together because it all takes place in a 7-year period, which to the Lord is a very short period of time.
Okay.
And then in verse 15 of Joel 2 is the end of the tribulation period. It's Yom Kippur. The Lord returns for the battle of Armageddon. It says in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, that's Yom Kippur, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather children, nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. That's Revelation 19:11. That's Messiah returning with the raptured and resurrected saints. And then down to verse 31 of the same chapter. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Then a book we don't go to very often, Zephaniah. Not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, then Matthew. So it's about 15, 20 pages back from Matthew. Zephaniah chapter 1. Starting in verse 14. We're still turning. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. Because, here's why, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. So why is the Lord pouring out wrath upon the nations? Because they have sinned against the Lord. What does that do to the theory that the law doesn't apply to Gentiles, therefore Gentiles don't sin? It shows how ludicrous the statement is. Verse 18 says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. Remember we read in Isaiah they're going to cast the silver and gold idols to the bats and the moles. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. All those who come against the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem to destroy it, they're going to have a really bad day. Back to Revelation. Chapter 7 is a parenthesis, they call it. I would say chapters 4 and 5 are describing what happens in heaven with the rapture and resurrection and the judgment of the saints. Chapter 6 takes place on earth at the same time. It's just a different theater, if you will, a different location. Chapter 7 now goes back to the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. So it begins when Revelation 4 begins. What were the first three words of Revelation 4? After these things. What are the first three words of chapter 7? After these things. So it's a way of the Lord saying, I've been telling you what's been going on in heaven, what's been going on in earth, but there's other things that I need to tell you about that are going on at the same time. But if he put them all together into one chapter, we'd never be able to figure out what's going on where. So to clarify, he has separated chapter 7 and given us the word clues and after these things to put it at the beginning of the tribulation period.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible, so you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.